السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. محمد رسول الله، والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم، تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا، سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود، ذلك مثلهم في التوراة، ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار، وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. وبعد، I have recited this ayah not with any intention to give you a commentary or discussion on it, but merely for the sake of barakah, for the sake of seeking barakah from the ayat of the Quran. When we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the Quran through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we must also appreciate that reading the Quran is one of the greatest forms of ibadah. Reading the Quran without understanding is one of the greatest forms of ibadah in Islam. So what is the first sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we should follow? Iqra. What was the first revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Hira? Iqra. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited, that became a sunnah. So what is the first sunnah? Iqra. And what is Iqra for us? Iqra for us is one of the greatest forms of ibadah and worship. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that if you recite Alif Lam Mim, you will be rewarded 30 rewards and hasana. And then he said, I don't say Alif Lam and Mim, they are one letter. Alif is one letter, Lam is another, and Mim is another. So for reading Alif Lam Mim, the Prophet ﷺ said, we receive 30 reward. And the Prophet ﷺ used this example to show us that even if you don't know what Alif Lam Mim means, you will be rewarded. Does anyone know what Alif Lam Mim means? No. The ulama and the mufassirun say, Allahu a'lamu bi muradihi bi dhalik. Allah knows much more what is the intent, the murad of Alif Lam Mim. We don't know. We may speculate, we may think, we may assume, but the true meaning of Alif Lam Mim is not. If you were to teach somebody on the streets today who did not know how to read or write, never went to school, was disenfranchised, was underprivileged, didn't have the means, didn't have the money, didn't have the district, was living in the south side of Chicago, where there is no money for anyone or anything, and you took that person from the street, and you said to him, read, when he's never been to school. So now you can say, okay, if he is 11 years old, there's hope. If he is 18 years old, he can be motivated. But at the age of 40, if you tell someone who's never read or written, read, what's he thinking? What's he going to say? Ma ana biqari. I'm not someone who reads. You understand the question? So now, look at it from this point of view. That in this country, there are several thousand, if not millions, who don't have a junior high education. They are illiterate according to the US standards. They can barely write their names. They can barely read the street signs and the names of the roads. And what does anyone do for them? Nothing. So here we have our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Khatamun Nabiyyin, that at the age of 40, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Jibreel alayhi salam to meet him in the cave of Hira, and then tells him, you must read Iqra. So now he is now baffled. He is perplexed. Other than the fact that he is enclosed in a cave and he can't see further than Jibreel alayhi salam, he is scared also and frightened. He does not know what to do. This person or thing or being that came in front of me is saying to me, read. So there were no letters. There was no writing. There was no book. And Jibreel Islam said, Iqra, read. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us through this experience in Hira that when Allah wants to teach someone who has never read and never written, he is a complete ummi. Not that he was not intelligent, he was very intelligent, he was very smart. Not that he didn't know how to deal with people, he had a lot of street knowledge. But he never formally went to school. And when he did not go to school, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will teach you. I will teach who? An ummi. Someone who doesn't know how to read and write. And what did he teach him? How to read and recite the Qur'an. So what is the greatest gift you can give to somebody who doesn't know how to read or write? The Qur'an. Iqra. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. Allah's fadl and grace and mercy and rahmah on you is huge, tremendous. Why? Because you are a Nabiyul Ummi. Now you go out into the whole of mankind and you tell people, I did not have any formal education. So if I can read the Qur'an, you can read the Qur'an. Does that make sense? Meaning that if someone says, I've never learned Arabic, I've never been to school, I've never been to madrasa, I've never done anything for my own education, I am totally deprived of any kind of childhood and education, my parents didn't have anything. So the Prophet ﷺ will say, you're next in line to me. Meaning, I didn't have those luxuries either, but Allah chose me, and He showed me His favor, and since I can read as an ummi, you can also read. So iqra, meaning reciting the Qur'an, is the best form of ibadah, and that is why in the best ibadah, which is salat, what do? We read, we recite the Qur'an. Fatiha and the surah. فَقْرَؤُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. That we recite the Qur'an. Now who is able to do this? Someone with a degree from Harvard? Or someone who has no education? Everybody in the world can follow this sunnah of Iqra. You don't need anything to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in reciting the Quran. All you need to do is listen and then copy. Listen and copy. Listen and repeat. And what do you do when you recite? You use your tongue. So if you're able to speak and you're able to hear, you can recite the Quran. And that is why in this ummah, so many blind people, mashallah, have memorized the whole Quran. Even though they've never seen a letter, they can't see Alif Ba Ta Tha on the board, on the screen. Now they have developed a language for blind people, the Braille, even in Arabic. But that's different. But until now, everybody who memorized the Quran and recited the Quran, what did they do? They listened first, and then they recited. So in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions on four occasions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has four distinct duties, one of which is yatlu alayhim ayatina, that he recites, he makes tilawa of our ayat, of our verses of the Quran. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would receive revelation from Allah, wahi, and then he would recite to the Sahaba. What would the Sahaba do first? They would listen and then repeat. Listen and repeat. That was the first sunnah. And then they would also record and document on whatever was available to them at that time. We know this from several hadith. That is not a discussion at this time. What I'm saying is that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the only way for us to know what is ibadah and what is not ibadah. So when we read the Quran, the first instruction for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was yatlu alaihim ayatina, that he must make tilawah and recite our ayat in front of people so that people can listen and they can repeat and recite. This was the first program in the madrasa of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reciting the Quran. And reciting the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made part of deen, made it a tremendous, huge ibadah. For each letter of the Quran, Allah rewards us 10 good deeds. Yeah. 10. And for those words also, and letters that we don't understand also, you will never understand the Quran until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to, and even in Jannah, will start, inshallah, will continue to learn and understand what the Quran means. So someone who says, I have understood everything in the Quran, then he's a liar. Because it's not possible in this world. There have been many great scholars, commentators, mufassirun, ulama, allamas in the world who have studied the Quran from cover to cover, and they all say, I have not even begun to understand what the Quran means, depending on your level of instruction. Allama Shah Kashmir Rahimullah, one of the greatest ulama of Deoband, used to say that I have in my life, and when he studied the Quran, with his knowledge of Arabic, the Quran, the Sunnah and Fiqh and Usul and everything else, he was not studying the way we do. How do we study the Quran today? We Google. What do? We Google. Wikipedia. How did the ulama of the past, and even today, your asatidah are here, mashallah, in Sharia board, how did they study the Quran? Do you know with what depth and what dedication? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, one of the first mufassirun of this ummah, he was known as Hibrul Ummah. The Prophet ﷺ made special dua for this Sahabi, young man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him tremendous knowledge of the Qur'an. His students say, sometimes we would wait outside of the house of Ibn Abbas after Isha. And we would see the candlelight would still be on. And we would wait so that we could serve him and do some khidmah. And then he would not come out until early morning, just before tahajjud. And we would ask him, what were you doing? And he said that I was studying the poems of the Jahiliyyah, the Ash'ar of the Jahiliyyah. So the students would be amazed, Ash'ar of the Jahiliyyah, and what is this? He said, did you know that the Qur'an was revealed in such a beautiful language, and it was revealed according to the language of the Quraysh, and according to the rules and regulations of the poetry of that time? If I don't understand that poetry, I don't understand the Qur'an. So I was hoping that through learning and studying the poetry of the Jahiliyyah, I will be better equipped to understand certain words of the Qur'an. And he did this the whole night. And we do a 5-second search online, and we are the, mashallah, gift of God to mankind. How did they study? Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahimahullah, was a tremendous... I don't have equipment, I cannot learn. So Allah said nothing of that. If you are stranded on an island and you have three people, or two people, one knows the Qur'an, the other doesn't, what do they do? The one who knows teaches the one who doesn't know. Are you going to wait there for FedEx to come and give you pen and paper? An iPod? No, you go with the normal way, the natural way, the way of the Prophet ﷺ. One knows and the other teaches. So the Sahaba, when they heard the Qur'an from the Prophet ﷺ, what did they do? They went home and they recited to their family members or to their neighbors and said, this is the revelation, wahi, that came to the Prophet ﷺ. They did not read and write the way we do. It was oral transmission through the tongue. That is a sunnah. So we must appreciate that today we have so many gimmicks and gadgets, but we don't learn the way they did. Why? Because we don't have the drive. We don't have the passion. We don't have the love. So when we say we want to love the Prophet ﷺ, we must love the idea of reciting the Qur'an. Yatlu alayhim ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the Prophet ﷺ to recite the ayat of the Qur'an to the Prophet, to the Sahaba, and the Sahaba in turn would listen, repeat, and then memorize. This is what we are here for. If there is anything else, then you should not have time for anything else. As students of deen, this is your only occupation. You have no other occupation except to listen, to repeat, and to learn. This is now embodied in one dua of the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the Qur'an, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Say, O Muhammad ﷺ, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. So what is the only dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet ﷺ in the Qur'an, where he says, زِدْنِي. There's only one thing that Allah says to the Prophet ﷺ, Muhammad ﷺ, you ask me for everything, for Jannah, for the Akhirah, for this and that, but one thing, only when you say increase me, and that is knowledge. Nothing else. Zidni ulma, increase me in knowledge. So when we love the Prophet ﷺ, we must also love this dua, and we must become translators of this.